was an interesting one. Bring the meeting of the Amador Air District Board of Directors to order. And if you wouldn't mind joining me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Do I have a motion for approval of agenda?
We determine a quorum, Mr. Chair. Yep, we have a quorum.
We're only missing two, so I'm assuming we had a quorum.
Have a quorum.
I'll second.
Okay.
Do we need a roll call vote?
No, because we don't have anybody on Zoom.
Okay.
Ryan? So, what's that?
Ryan's not on.
Well, I just said nobody was on Zoom.
Nobody?
Like but the COVID stuff,
Brian.
That's all over with then as far as roll call vote?
Well, if nobody is on,
nobody's on.
We don't need to do a roll call.
If there's even one, then we would.
So, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. 602. Public matters not on the agenda. Discussion items only. No action to be taken. Any persons may address the board at this time upon any subject within the jurisdiction of Amador Air District Board of Directors. Anybody have anything? Why is this quiet? Okay, we'll go on to administrative matters. Minutes. Anybody have any changes to the minutes?
Move to approve. Any changes?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Public hearing for 2022 to 2023 final district budget and resolution 2020-01.
Do you want to open the public hearing?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Herminia Perry, Air Pollution Control Officer. What you have here is the public hearing for our fiscal year 2022-2023 final district budget and resolution 22-01. At the May 17, 2022 meeting, the APCO brought to the Board of Directors our draft budget for fiscal year 22-23 budget. There was no changes other than a $10,000 increase to revenues from a prescribed fire grant that I got. And so consequently, it was $10,000 for revenue and then $10,000 for an expense line item. Our cash reserves, we are right there where our budget should be on that reserve line item. We are at $462,070. And you know, for that, we've been slowly chipping away at our reserves with our programs that we've been doing, so I think we're on track for that. That's all I have.
Anybody have any questions?
Did we establish a minimum we were going to go down to on the reserves? Was it like $350,000? I know we kicked it around, but did we ever determine a number?
We did. It wasn't a specific number. It was a percentage of our operating cost. So it was 1.5% of what our operating budget would be to keep in reserves.
Okay.
Yeah, we did have a policy. We do have a policy established for that.
And that's for a minimum.
For a minimum, yes. Sorry.
And about how much is that? We're at right now.
Roughly about $425,000.
We're getting down there closer now.
Yes, we are. Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Herminia, the 2022 cash reserve, is that's a current value? Or
that's the current balance right now.
Okay. And then what is that? Is that going to go down roughly 60?
Around 69,000. It all depends on, at the end of the fiscal year, we'll have rollover money that gets rolled over into reserves, and then because of our expenses, then we draw out of reserves.
Okay, so presumably that'll be about 60 or 70,000 less?
For right now, yeah.
Next year?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, do any other comments?
What is our SOAR pilot program again for that battery replacement of mechanical engines?
So that's the small engine replacement program that I'm going to talk about on the next line on the next item on the agenda. It's a new program that the Air District would like to establish for this fiscal year, and it's to replace your small engines with battery operated. And when I talk about small engines, I'm talking about blowers, I'm talking about weed eaters, stuff like that.
No money coming from the state for that?
No. It's hard to get, it's not hard to get money from the state. It's hard to administer it on my end because I don't have the staff to do it. And I'll, when we get down to the APCO update, I'll talk a little bit about that under the wood stove replacement program.
I have a motion to close the public hearing.
So I'll move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. What is the action we want to take? I have a motion to approve the budget.
So moved.
Resolution?
Yes.
Oh, put the resolution?
Yes.
2022-01.
Move to approve the resolution in addition to the final budget.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you. So we have the small off-road engine SOAR residential rebate program. This is just a draft cut to it. We've been starting to work on it, David and myself, and I just wanted to bring it up to you guys so that you saw what we're working on, what it's going to entail. It's still up for changes. If you guys have any input, or we will still be doing some tweaks here and there, minor ones, but for the most part, this is the gist of it. We are trying to do two options. One option is you do a full replacement of an old piece of equipment that you have, a small engine that you have, which could include lawnmowers, edgers, string trimmers or hedge trimmers, chainsaws, blowers, or any pole saw. Depending on the amount of the purchase price, then you would get a rebate amount, and it would just be a check that would be cut to the participant. They would have an application to fill out. If they're doing option one, which requires them to replace something, when they go to ACES to discard their old piece of equipment, ACES would sign off on the application. They would bring it back to the district along with their documentation and their receipt, and then the district would cut them a check depending on the rebate amount that they did. Option two would be if anybody just wants to purchase a new piece of equipment, they would get a $50 rebate of a purchase price of $100 or more, so we would be paying for half of their price, and that's for anything that they want to buy that is electric powered. And on that one, we wouldn't ask for any destruction. It would just be in addition to their whatever equipment that they have at home. This program, I'm seeing the most people taking benefit of it will be those people in residence in small towns that are closer in town that have neighbors, elderly people that want to use blowers instead of having to, you know, try to turn on a gas blower or anything like that. Upcountry, I'm not sure that people will be too in tuned to it, but at least they have that option. You know, a blower can do great things, and now with the batteries that are being improved a little bit more as technology increases, I see that it could potentially be beneficial. Going back to your question, Richard, about state money versus our own budget money, it's hard to, the state is offering a SOAR program, but that is at a commercial level. So agent landscapers, big agencies, big companies that are into the commercial landscaping business, they have about $30 million in a grant that the state is providing. At this local residential level, there isn't any state money for this yet.
One simple question I had was, I have a battery-operated blower, but the batteries don't last very long. So if I bought extra batteries for my blower or anything else like that, would that count?
I would be more than happy to put it under option B. Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions?
I've got a comment. I don't know. The whole purpose of this program is a prohibition on engines and emissions. I don't know why we would be rebating people who don't have one, a gas one to turn in.
You
want
to?
Makes sense.
That option in the program would kind of be a little bit of an incentive to somebody who doesn't own that equipment. They just bought a house, and instead of them going and purchasing a gas leaf blower, weed eater, it incentivizes it a little bit for them to go the electric route or the battery operated route.
Thanks for the explanation. Still, I'm not wild about that option.
Yeah. And we have to keep in mind, the SOAR program is not going to, you'll still be allowed to use your small engines. Manufacturers just will not be able to produce these gas-powered engines after January 1st of 2024. So California will still, whatever they have in inventory, will still be able to sell it in the state, but they will not be able to purchase gas-powered equipment from manufacturers because essentially they should not be producing them anymore in the state of California.
What's the limit per, is it per person, per family?
We're going to do per household for this time around. Again, it's a pilot program. We don't know what is going to happen. It could be very well received. It could be booed on. So we'll do one piece of equipment per household.
You know, one thing I will say, I work a lot with small engine equipment, and my experience has been the electric weed eaters are fine, but if you're getting real heavy stuff or you need some horsepower, they don't seem to work as well. They just don't have the beef. And so I guess does a SOAR program cover up all the wounds you're making on us?
I'm not making the wounds on you.
No, I'm not throwing this at you. I mean,
There is an exemption list, and I'll be more than happy to email it out to you guys. There is an exemption list that big chainsaws, like 45 cc's, are exempt from this SOAR requirement that the state is putting in. The list is quite extensive of what is actually excluded from the SOAR. Yes, it's not the ideal regulation for lots of landscaping companies, lots of mom-and-pop shops and stuff. But all we can do is just regulate it. And we don't have any it's not like we're going to go out, the air district is not going to go out and start, you know, telling people you can't use this, you can't do that. But I do believe that we should do our part and help people get to that point and help them with their replacements.
Yeah, I would like to see that list, you know.
Yeah, I could.
That'd be good information.
Yeah.
Roughly, how many people would this serve under option two, I guess? Is what?
We have $40,000 in the budget for this program.
Okay, so they would be $50,000 each, right? I mean, $50 each.
If they go with option two, but we also have, I'm hoping that it's a mix between maybe half and half. I'm seeing that maybe option one might be more popular just because you get more bang for your buck on that one, but we'll have to see.
Does it matter if they turn in a weed eater and then buy a blower?
Nope. As long as they're turning in something that is gas-powered, if they want option one, then I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I can see some problems with this down the road as far as somebody going to yard sale and picking up for $5.
Exactly. Right. Or they have a...
It is getting rid of something.
Something that's broke down and then they just turn it in. Cause
so we'll have to see how this
Yeah, we'll have to.
I'm going to get my soapbox. It's probably going to collapse on me. Personally, I think the state is whacked. We're burning up literal cities. We're burning up our state. If they wanted to really do something, I mean, that's where, if I was them, I'd be looking at it. You want to look at air pollution. I mean, you burn up the town of Paradise. You burn up the town of Greenville. You burn up Grizzly Flats, you got Calaveras County. That's some air pollution.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're doing here. You're trying to do your part. And you're probably looking at roughly what? Depending if they go with an expensive router or not, you're probably talking maybe 300 piece of equipment, probably.
Yeah.
I think it reminds me of, was it Nero fiddled while Rome burned? I'm not saying that at you. I'm talking about the state.
Yeah, I know, Brian.
Actually, Newsom fiddled while California burned. There we go.
Okay. Any other comments?
Is this a required program?
It is not. I came up with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there wasn't a motion. This is just for informational purposes. It was just for you guys to get a first glimpse at what we're doing, what we're working on. So.
Okay, so it's not, you're not requesting approval of this?
No. Yeah.
I'm sorry I was late. It's a pale road and took a long time to get here.
Yeah. Okay. Any comments, Susan, on this last item?
No.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll just continue on working, and at the next board meeting, I will bring it back for final approval.
Sounds good.
So who came up with the acronym?
The state, CARB. CARB loves their acronyms. If you guys are ever bored and you want to go onto their website, just look at their website. They love their acronyms.
You're killing me.
It's rather unfortunate.
So we have APCO update. I'll go through this fairly quickly, but we have the smoke reduction bin program and our green waste voucher program. We are coming down to the tail end of our neighborhood bin program. We did a total of 6 bins in 6 neighborhoods, or a total of 6 neighborhoods together. Each neighborhood got their bin between 1 to 3 weeks at a time. Overall, it was very successful, and residents are very appreciative of it, that they're able to do some cleanup. Our green waste voucher program, this was the first time that we have done, this is the first time I have done something. I know that the district a couple of years ago did a voucher program. It wasn't so successful. It went a little bit haywire, and it ended up being very expensive for the district. I think the biggest thing on that one was there wasn't control of the vouchers. So when we came up and we talked to ACES, it was tossed around, and ACES was very inclined to try to do it again with a little bit more hands-on on our end of the vouchers and how they were distributed and how we came about them. So we ended up doing 150 vouchers for each month. We have done July, and we're in August. At the end of this month, we will be up at the Pioneer Veterans Hall handing out another round of 150 vouchers. It's for up to 4 cubic yards of green waste at no charge. And each month, as you can see, there's a different color. It's on cardstock. It has a hole punch. It's a different color, different numbering system on it. I take a picture of it. I send it to ACES. ACES distributes it to their guys at the check stand, and they make sure and they collect them, so they have the vouchers. We will be doing this again. Originally, it was for 5 months, so it was for the months of July, August, September, and then we'll do it in May and June of the following year. If we have funds left over, I'm thinking of doing maybe July as well with the vouchers that don't get used up. Do a compilation of all the months and then do another event in the month of July of next year. I understand some people love it, some people hate it. There isn't a happy meeting. I can't make everybody happy. We have tossed around. We're up at the Veterans Hall the last week of the month before the the corresponding month of the voucher from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. handing out the vouchers. We have them give us an ID, a bill, something that shows that they're an Amador County resident and that they own a house here. We've had some ladies complain and said that they would go up to you guys and tell you guys how dumb and stupid our program was, but yet they still wanted their voucher. We've had other people complain about the time of the day that we're handing them out for this round, for even for the ones that we will be doing in May and June. I want to keep it the same from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. just because I already had a flyer out. Everybody knows the people. This month we saw a lot more new faces than we did in July, so the word is getting out. People are getting used to being there from 10 a.m., from knowing that we're there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. After this round, potentially next year, then maybe we could talk about maybe doing some in the evening, one of the days, for those people that work and can't get off, or for the people that this is their second home to. But again, we'll never be able to make everybody happy, so we have to find a happy medium that David and I can accommodate. I know Supervisor Brown offered to help us and volunteer his time to hand out the vouchers, but then we're just setting people up to expect more and more of us. So we're trying. We're really trying to do our best and accommodate as much as we can to it and to the residents. And, you know, for the most part, people have been very appreciative of the program. The residents that are on low income, fixed income, seniors have been very happy that they've been able to drive down the street and pick up a voucher and have that free voucher to be able to use. I've also heard lots of great feedback on now that it's open the whole month and they're not just limited to a Saturday. So,
people that make really derogatory comments, what's their main objection?
That they have to drive to get the voucher instead of me mailing it or delivering it, yes, or that I should be doing more, that, you know, this isn't enough. And I agree. I totally agree, you know, but we have to understand my nexus is fire, is air quality. For me, 150 people less that burn a year is great. My air quality is, you know, I don't have as many complaints on burning. So that for me is a win. I'm not going to be able to tackle fire safety. That's not my nexus. So, you know, that's just been their main concern, that there's just so much fuel out there that a voucher isn't enough. And, yes, I agree. For fire safety reasons, I do agree. But my nexus is air quality. So, for me, it's 150 less people that are burning. The next thing is the electric vehicle charging station, Pioneer Inn and Suites. He got his charging station up, and it was completed by the end of the fiscal year. Very, very nice. I mean, he went outside the box, literally. You know, he installed his charging stations on a container, C-line container. He did all the electrical, very nice. It tied in very nicely. I think that's one of the reasons why his price was relatively cheaper compared to any other of the city's proposals that they've gotten, just because he didn't have to trench. He found a workaround that, but he did. He completed it, and so those are up. He has three chargers, and once the Pioneer Inn and Suites opens up, it'll be a great addition to – it'll be a dot on the map for electric charging stations.
Is he going to – oh, go ahead. Is he going to make that available to anybody that comes by?
Yes.
As soon as the facility comes open, they've had...
I've driven by. I've seen what's going on, but...
They've at least... They're doing some road work. They're doing the parking lot right now.
Yep.
So part of the gates were down. I did notice that Kirkwood also has charging stations up at the Kirkwood.
Yes, they do. They those were not by us.
No. And I think they're still on... The Alpine side of Kirkwood, but at least they're up there.
They're up there too.
So does he have something for the, you know, the people that are charging their cars to do or buy? So
well, it's gonna. He's working on a cafe, I believe. So the restaurant, he's working on a cafe in there. He has visions, and I do believe that eventually that will be a stopping point, you know, a little destination where people will.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. The wood stove replacement program. So we have participated in the wood stove replacement program at a state level. The state has funding for this program, and we have participated. El Dorado County is the one that administers the program for us, again, just because I don't have the staff to do it. Lots of paperwork when you get grants from the state. Reporting is tedious. And so they were very gracious to offer their help to us. So they administer the program. On our end, we get the applications and we do the pre-inspection of the old piece of equipment. David goes out or I go out and we inspect that the wood stove meets the requirements to be eligible for the wood stove replacement program. We exhausted our funds for fiscal year 21-22, and currently CARB is making some changes to the program guidelines and will disperse the money after they're done with those guideline changes. And that won't be until June 30th of 2023. Wow. For the time being, we don't have any funds for wood stove replacement programs. I've had a couple of calls of people prepping themselves to replace their wood stove for the winter to come. And my answer to them has been save their receipts, take pictures. In the past, it hasn't been retroactive, but it's not to say that maybe this time because of CARB's changes to the guidelines and that time frame that there hasn't been any money. They might, but I did tell them I'm not making promises, but, you know, it never hurts to ask. So I will bring that to CARB once we once the funds come in.
Yeah, those modern wood stoves, they are not cheap.
They are not, no. One of the other downsides, and maybe we could, and this is just I'm throwing it out there, when we do bring this back up, in the past, we've only allowed the residents in Amador County to purchase and replace their wood stove with the retailer here in the county. Unfortunately, we're only down to one retailer, and they're not cheap also. So lots of participants have been discouraged to participate in our program because they could go out to El Dorado County, Placer County, somewhere to a different county and get a wood stove that's a lot cheaper than they could here with Sierra Hearth and Home. So maybe potentially we could look into allowing them to purchase their wood stove out of county and still qualify and still be able to participate in the wood stove replacement program for the state.
Well, maybe you talk to our local provider first, our local company, and tell them the air district is considering going out of county and see if they'll budge on their prices, because if we're giving them a whole bunch more business, you would think economically they could bring their price down a little.
Yeah, and they have. I mean, they've been participating. So when at one point, I want to say maybe 4 years ago, we, the Air District, did our own wood stove replacement program with money out of our budget so that we could bring down the reserves, and we put $50,000 towards wood stove replacement programs. We did 25 replacements in the county, but at that time we had three vendors. Sierra Hearth and Home took the majority of the money because they were able to upfront the cost because they're bigger. A&B Stove did a few of them, but he struggled a little bit because he had to eat that cost because it was a reimbursement. So not until the final product was installed did he get his money. So he did say, you know, I like the program, but for a mom and pop shop like me, it was hard to participate in it, and I get it. So Sierra Hearth and Home has really benefited from these programs because of that, you know, because they're the only one left in the county that can financially participate without being hurt so much.
What's the price of a new stove?
If they can rent anywhere between $5,000 and up. I mean, the stove itself is not relatively that expensive. It's everything else that comes with it. So you have to, you know, your hearth has to be set up. You have to have the correct piping going up. You know, they have to get their building permits. So it is expensive. Probably the cheapest one that I saw that we did was maybe about $4,500, and that was on the low end. And then the last thing I have is just the financials, and those are just for informational purposes.
I had a question on that.
Mm-hmm.
That lady from Woodland Road, Jennifer Dobershock,
mm-hmm.
She wrote in there that they removed 400 cubic yards of green waste, but as far as their neighborhood bin program, Woodland Road, it looks like it's only $2,400 in charges. And I wouldn't think, I think you're talking 10, 40 cubic yards dumpsters. I think it'd cost more than $240 to get a dumpster there back and delivered.
Well, so
David's got comments there, I think.
No.
Oh.
I was just going to say that they just got their bin pulled out yesterday morning, so we probably haven't been billed for much of theirs. They had a bin for
okay.
a week, so.
That makes sense then.
That's under our correspondence. So Director Onetto was talking about the letter that Jennifer Gobershock sent. And this neighborhood does an awesome job at cleaning up. They swap their bin out every single day. And they get it for 2 weeks, and they do swap it out on the weekend. That bin, come Monday, is packed to the rim because they do so much of the work. People like that neighborhood, you know, that I wish more neighborhoods would take so much pride. The one that we're doing right now, it's off of Williams, they're the same way. They really do take pride in their bin. They fill it up. They have community events so that they can get the most out of their bin as possible. So I think that is a... She's always very appreciative, always very happy to call the district. So I really like working with the Neighborhood Bin Program. The next letter that you'll see under correspondence, it is just from Incident Commander Billy C., and this was part of the CAL FIRE Incident Management Team 3 from the Electrifier. The Amador Air District was there every single day that they had their cooperative meetings, and we helped, and I was with Public Works and with the Air District together, the Electrifier was one of, you know, as horrible as it may sound, but it was the perfect storm of a fire. It burned right into the canyon. The smoke was hardly there. The impacts of the smoke into our community was very minimal. And I think we had at one of our meetings, they said that the size of this fire, they had all these sources into this fire, and that's probably what kept them so ahead of the game, because they had all types of sources out there. For the magnitude of the fire, it didn't need the sources that it had on the ground, but that helped tremendously. And being that it burned right up the scar from the Butte fire, that also helped too. So it was very busy at the office during that week. You know, lots of calls, lots of meetings with CAL FIRE, but I think it all worked out pretty well. And that's all I have.
Anybody else have anything else?
Boom.
Well, I guess we'll adjourn till October 18th. Thank you.
Thank you.